It's so good to be a child of God. Amen. And I'm very much excited to know that God has not left us alone. When Jesus left the earth, he said, I'm going back to the Father, but I'll ask the Father to send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. Sometimes you find in life we struggle because we ignore the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And you will find that not only people of the world, it's not only people of the world who don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes even Christians do. And the enemy would want to keep us at bay from understanding the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We seem to understand God the Father a bit more, and maybe Jesus to some extent, but very little about the Holy Spirit. To an extent that sometimes you even call the Holy Spirit an it, the Spirit of God as a wind, it. But the Holy Spirit is God. God himself is God the Father, is God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the dispensation that we are living in is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So we should always long for more of him, more of his presence. So even the way that we are going to do our service today, we are going to experience more of him, give ourselves time. So to say, Lord, have your way in my life. Spirit of the living God, minister to me. Because otherwise, if we don't have proper fellowship with the Holy Spirit, your Christianity will become a religion. You are going to feel very dry. You are going to feel to have no direction in life. You are even going to seek a lot of things to try and quench the thirst that you have. You even go to many places that we find that even though you are a Christian, you still go to Sangomas and Inyangas because you want something. But you have the Holy Spirit as a child of God. And for those of you who do not yet have a relationship with God, who will also help you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because it's not like God is reserved for the privileged few. He created all of us in his image. And he wants to have a relationship with each one of us. So if you are here and you are not yet a child of God, we'll also pray with you to help you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That you don't only fellowship with him here on the earth, even unto eternity, you will have fellowship with him. We'll start from the book of Psalms 42, 1 to 2. I'll read in the Good News Translation. We are continuing with fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So this is part 5. We had a series of 3 sometimes in the past. Last week we started part 4. Now this is part 5 of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We start with Psalms 42, 1 to 2, Good News Translation. It reads, as a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. When can I go and worship in your presence? Amen. So when a deer is thirsty for water, it longs for that water. Feeling I'm missing something, I need to go and drink. Now, David says, I'm like that deer that is longing for the streams of water, cool water. And he says, I thirst for you, living God. The Bible says, blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Sometimes we do not get more of God because we think we are fine. We think we've got everything. You no longer have that hunger that you had when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And he says, when can I go and worship in your presence? Do you long to go and worship? Do you long to go and worship? And by the way, do you know that we do not only worship the Lord when we are now here in church, even when you are at your home? There should be times sometimes when you just go away from everybody else and say, I just want to spend time in the presence of God. And in that way, our lives with the Lord should not be, I'm doing this to be seen by people. Jesus said, if you do it for men, you already have your reward. But there should be those times when you feel, I just need more of God. I want to set everything aside just to spend time in His presence. And when you are in His presence, mountains melt before the presence of God. Sometimes you find, like now when we are here, as we are continuing to minister, I'm very sure in my heart that some of you will get healed just by the presence of God in this place. Amen. Just as we are in His presence, things work out. Amen. Because we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father who loves us. But we need to have that thirst. We need to have that hunger. And Jesus is inviting all of us to have thirst. And if you are thirsty, come and drink. And keep on drinking. Keep on being filled by Him. More of Him, more of Him, more of Him. In a way that you will never say, I've now finished God. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, there is so much of God that you cannot finish Him. That's why we talk about personal growth with the Lord. It's not like God is getting bigger. God does not change. It's just your knowledge of Him that's getting more intimate with Him. Understanding Him more better. As we continue, I'll even share with you how you can learn to discern the voice of God. Remember the other time I gave you this example to say that even when we are here, let me take an example of SABC. The SABC is broadcasting now. Do you know that? Huh? But you're not catching anything. Why? Okay. You do not have a television set. You do not have a receiver. But if you've got a television set and you've got a receiver, also you are not guaranteed that you will catch it. You need to turn it on. After turning it on, you find that it's in Al Jazeera, but you wanted SABC. Do you say, hey, this TV of mine doesn't have SABC? What do? You turn to the right frequency. So it means even in our own lives, it's not like God is not speaking. Because some of you say, I never heard God. So let's go to the book of John chapter 7. Verse 37 to 39, New King James Version, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You see that God will never force you to do anything. God invites us. God could not even stop Adam and Eve from disobeying Him and eat a forbidden fruit. Do you know that even in your own life, God can never force you not to sin? He has created us with free will, and we can make our own individual choices. So even here, Jesus is making an invitation. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So usually when we are thirsty, when we feel we're missing something, sometimes we go to so many places. But He says we need to come to Him and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this He spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this scripture makes it simple for us. It says, when Jesus was talking about this thirst and the water that He gives and the rivers, He was talking about the Holy Spirit. So we are going to also learn how to be in constant fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you are a child of God, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. But Jesus said to his disciples when he was leaving, he said, don't depart from Jerusalem until you get the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of the On High. Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, not in you. The Holy Spirit in you, it's for your personal use. Like a well. Let's go to the book of John 4, 14. And then we'll come back to John 7, 37 to 39. John 4, 14, Good News Translation, it says, but those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them what? A spring. Other versions would say a fountain. Other versions would say a well. Do you understand what's a well? It's a well. And when that well, so he says, the water that I will give in you will become a well, a spring, quenching that thirst that you have, which will provide them with life-giving water. So I like it in the Good News because it talks about this well. Okay, let's read it. It says, will give them a spring or a well which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life. So this well helps me in that I've got eternal life. I've got the assurance that I'm a child of God. You cannot convince me otherwise. I am a child of God. Amen? And it says, when I have this well now, but it also provide me with the life-giving water. So now, let's look at that life-giving water. So we go back to John 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow. Now Jesus here doesn't use the word well. It's flowing, it's a well, but when it starts flowing, it becomes a river. He says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, when that river goes, it starts as a well. But when it's flowing, wherever that river goes, there will be life. We usually don't know where the well is of the water of the river that we are using. But wherever that river goes, do you know that if the river is flowing through here, and there is grass around there, that grass will be green. Because wherever that river goes, there will be life. Now think of yourself as somebody who's having that well and now you are transporting that river. So if you come to a place and somebody is not well, it's spelled well in the book of Ezekiel. It says this water started as a stream, the water coming down, ankle deep, knee deep, loins, and it then says it became a river. But wherever this river went, it says this river went to the dead sea, to the desert, brings life. It comes to the Dead Sea, and then there is life. So if I have the living water in me, and I lay hands on her, the river flows. Amen? Amen? Because it started as a well in me, but now it can touch it. So that's why if you stay close to those who have the river of God, you will have life in you. Because when that life is flowing, it comes to you also. So in Ezekiel, it's actually put nicely. It says, when this river goes, it comes, beside going to the desert and all that, it says it comes to the Dead Sea of putrid water. So they say the Dead Sea doesn't move. It's like a swamp. Okay? But when that river comes there, it gives life. Then I think of that even in your own, wherever you are, and there is a dead situation, and you are a child of God, and you've got the river, the water of God, you should bring life to that place. You come to a place where people are discouraged and people want to commit suicide, they don't know what to do. May they experience that river. So if you are here today and you were saying, I'm hopeless, I don't know what to do, may this river of the Holy Spirit touch you. Amen. Amen. So wherever the river goes, there will be life. Amen. Amen. And we are the people who have that river. It started as a well for personal use. So it means even anyone who is thirsty, let them come and drink. Okay, can I ask you this question? Do you think you've got, Jesus talks about the kind of waters that come from, as he says, some have got bitter waters, some have got sweet water. So what kind of water comes from you? If people come to you and they are hopeless, will they go away having life? Or they come with a little bit of life, but when they go, they are dead. Huh? Make sure that you have the right kind of water. You represent the kingdom of your Father. So that even when people come to you and they were at the point of death, let there be life. Amen. In Jesus' name. If they were confused and in darkness and not knowing what to do, let there be light in Jesus' name. We are conduits of the life of God. The Zoe, the God kind of life. The problem is that with even being Christian, some of us, we are not serious with our Christian walk with the Lord. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 NLT, look at this. Paul is encouraging us to put our attention in the right place. He says, NLT, he says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. And people still go and get drunk with wine, isn't it? Yeah. Why? He says it will ruin your life, but you still go for it anyway. But if others are getting busy drinking their wine, don't you think I should also have an equivalent of wine? I should also have something. Amen? Yeah. I should also have something. I should even, when others are getting addicted to drugs, I should also have something that I'm addicted to, that I can't do without. He says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he is equating being drunk with wine in the natural that will ruin your life to being filled with the Holy Spirit that will bring life in you. Amen? So I choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I cannot defile this body. It's set apart for special use, special purpose. The Bible in the book of Timothy talks of us as, he says, in a great house, there are vessels. So it's like we are vessels that the Lord can use. Can you make sure that you are a holy vessel? Yes. A vessel that doesn't mix. A vessel that can be reserved for special use. When guests come, they think the Lord thinks about you. He says, singing psalms and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord. So if I'm then addicted to the Lord, actually, Mr. Mkosi, can you read for us 1 Corinthians 15 in King James Version? 1 Corinthians 16:15 KJV. Because I want to show you that as much as people can be addicted to drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, pornography, or any other thing that you think you want more of that, you want to see that, you want to do that. Some of us, we also have a certain addiction. Amen. Listen to 1 Corinthians 16:15 KJV.
I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry.
It's not the King James Version. I'm going to read it in the King James Version myself. 1 Corinthians 16:15 KJV says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints. Last week when we were hearing, the other time we were told that we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. So when I'm addicted to something, so it means when it's a Sunday, I don't have to think, do I have to go to church? I'm addicted. Amen. When it's time for prayer, I don't have to think, I'm addicted. I'm longing for it. Amen. Yes. So he says the house of Stephanas, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Other versions use the word devoted, but I like the one of being addicted. Because if I'm addicted to something, I mean, this is all about our lives. We other people can be spending time in many other things. For us, we've got an addiction. Paul even puts it by saying, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And for me, I interpret that in two ways. He either meant he was a prisoner for the work of the Lord, that's why he was jailed. But he was also a prisoner in that he did not have his own way of doing things. He was a prisoner of the Lord. He says, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Just like other people can be slaves of many things, I am a slave to the work of the Lord. I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints. Amen? Now, if I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints, and I think about you, and it's 12 o'clock midnight, and the Lord wants me to pray for you, even if you don't see me, I still pray for you. Amen? Yeah. The only tragedy is if you are gossiping about me and I'm praying for you. Now, the connection becomes a problem now because the Lord sees my heart and what I want things to work for you. But you are saying, no, I'm not associated with that man. Now, you remember when Samuel was praying for Saul? Huh? He was genuine. The Lord said, why are you wasting your time? I've rejected that man. Amen. So which means sometimes my prayers may not work for you. Amen. So, and that doesn't depend on me and God. It depends on you. Amen. So it means it's very important that even if you think, whichever way that you think, but never malign people of God. I'll give you a simple example. You remember that Saul was an enemy to David? And it's Saul who was wrong. And Saul was chasing David when actually he was the one who was wrong. Now one time, you remember when Saul was in the cave? He was sleeping, and David came there, and his servants wanted David to kill Saul. Don't you think David was justified to kill Saul? Eh? Yeah, it's logical. This man is chasing after me. This man is evil. But what did David say? I cannot touch the anointed one of God. Amen. So let him have his fights with God. I don't want to get involved. Amen. That's the right attitude. It will save your life. Because sometimes if you keep on going into those things and you malign people of God, when you are in trouble, you need that very same person. Now all of a sudden that person is a man of God. Who are you fooling? So you need to make sure that indeed your relationship with the Lord is good. Your relationship with other brethren. We need each other. Amen? The very person you are gossiping about, you need them tomorrow to pray for you. Amen. Can we pray for one another? And not gossip about one another. We are one body in Christ. Amen? Imagine if my ear is colluding with my eye, talking about how bad my legs are. Or how bad my mouth is. It's the only one that has been speaking since the service began. We are never given a chance to also speak. Do my bodies do that? Does my ear, do you think my ear is worried that it's only the mouth that's speaking since we started the service? The ear knows I've got my role to play in the body. I don't have to compete with the mouth. There are things that I can do which the mouth cannot do. I'm the only one that can hear in this whole body. No one else. So don't you think also there's something special about you? That you don't even have to compete with your neighbor. Because there's something specific and unique about you. And we want that as a body. And we also need to pray for one another. So let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 18, NIV. Ephesians 6, 18, NIV, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Okay? "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." Okay. So last week we started teaching you about praying in the Spirit and praying in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance. He says, pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers. And last week I told you that there are different kinds of prayers, just like there are different kinds of cars. It doesn't matter how beautiful your latest Audi or Mercedes-Benz or BMW is. It does not have the same capability that the buggy has to carry things. Amen? So it means there are times when I would need a buggy and there are times when I need a sedan car. Amen? So, and there are also times when I don't need the buggy. So if now, if you've got your beautiful car, especially there are even those ones, you know, especially those ones with speed, you find that they say it's low profile tires. Eh? And they are also very close to the ground, like this. Now, and you're very much impressed and very happy with your car, you want to shine and you want to show people that you've got a powerful car. And now, you go to the rural area and it's very muddy. You want to impress people. You get stuck. That's not the... You see, there you need those cars, maybe even a bit of an old car. Those ones that, not fiber cars, the ones that even if it hits the stone breaks. Amen? They are made because they are made for that. So it means similarly, even in my own life, so when he says with all kinds of prayers, you need to know when to pray with just the prayer of faith where you just declare things. You also need to know when to intercede and travail until something comes to pass. Until you have a peace in your heart that I've got my breakthrough now. And you were praying and praying. Don't rest until you feel in your heart you've got a breakthrough. If you still have that burden of praying and feeling something is still not right, continue to pray. But sometimes you will say, "Pastor, I just feel there's something that's not right, but I don't know what it is. So how will I pray?" Romans 8, 26 to 27 NIV. Romans 8, 26 to 27 NIV. It says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Did you see what that verse says there? It means there are times sometimes when you don't know what to pray for as you ought. But the Holy Spirit will help you intercede even where you would not have understood, because your mind is limited. But the Holy Spirit in you is not limited. The Holy Spirit in you, He is God. He knows the things that are happening anywhere in the world. Some of us, you are away from your relatives, maybe in Limpopo, KZN, or wherever, or Zimbabwe, or wherever. So it means even when you are here, you can pray for them and be exact. If you're not praying from your mind, if you allow to tap into that river, that well, and you pray in the Spirit with the Holy Ghost. And last week we shared with you that when I pray in a tongue, in an unknown tongue, it is the Holy Spirit who gives the utterance. And after service last week when we had prayer time, we also prayed for others to say, those who want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of praying in other tongues, come and receive. Even when your mind does not understand, you know when you're praying in other tongues, your mind sometimes doesn't understand it. Your mind wants to understand. Your mind is used to be the one who makes logic to what you have to say. Okay? So there was a time when the disciples, when the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2, maybe let's go there. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, New King James Version. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came, you remember he said they must wait for the promise of the Father? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, don't leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now that day came. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came out a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That verse is very clear. You might confuse it yourself. It says, how many of them were filled? All. So don't leave yourself out and say, maybe the Holy Spirit is just for others. If you are a child of God, you also need this in being endured with power from on high. So that well in you can become a river that can go and touch other people's lives. You start being equipped for ministry. To be a blessing even to other people. So if they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, who began to speak? They began to speak. But when they were speaking in other tongues, who was giving them the utterance? The Holy Spirit. So it means we cannot teach you to speak in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit give you the utterance. And sometimes when He gives you the utterance, your tongues may not be the same as the pastor's tongue. So that one's tongue. So that one's tongue. Do you know that even the languages, they are all not the same? Yeah. If you turn on, so in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says, although I speak with tongues of men and tongues of angels, and I have no love, it benefits nothing. It means there are tongues of men, tongues of angels. But even in tongues of men, they are different. How many of you have ever listened to languages like those ones, especially those ones in Asia, like Chinese and others? They sound like Venda. They are confusing to people. You know, in South Africa, people, to me, Venda is a very simple language. But to some people, so it means even a Chinese, when he's talking those things, ching chang chong chong, we can't understand, we are confused. But to him, it's such a simple thing. Okay? So, the fact that my mind does not understand, it doesn't mean it's not a language. Amen? So go with me to the book of... you need to understand this, because I'm going to link it with when we are now fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, with God, with the Holy Spirit, and also tapping into what the Holy Spirit offers to us, we need to understand even the issue of speaking in tongues or praying in other tongues. So 1 Corinthians 14:2, Amplified Classic. It says, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truth and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Did you see that? It says when you are speaking in a tongue, you're speaking mysteries, you're speaking to God, you are not speaking to people. So if I'm praying in other tongues, you don't have to understand me. I can be speaking my Chinese. Leave me alone with my God. And if I'm praying to God, I do not need anybody to interpret that, because God does not need an interpreter. God created languages. He understands every language. But last week we shared with you when Paul said, in church, when I'm with other people, I rather speak few words in a language that they can understand than be spending the whole thing in tongues. So I gave you an example. I said it's like some of you who don't know scriptures. If I just start preaching in tongues from the beginning to the end, you are going to say, oh, the pastor is so powerful. The Holy Spirit was in our midst today. The pastor preached the whole sermon in tongues. That was the power of the Holy Spirit. We said, what was being said? No, it was just powerful. It could have been powerful without wasting your time to just come and you hear nothing. Yeah, if you read 1 Corinthians 14, it will explain to you well that even when an unbeliever comes in and you find that we're just going in tongues, all of us, they don't understand, how will they say amen? So it means there are times when I can choose to pray in other tongues. There are times when I can choose to pray in a language that I understand. So if we say, let us pray, and I'm going to close in prayer, I can pray in the language you understand. If I'm going to minister now like I'm preaching to you, I do it in the language you understand. So Paul says, if I pray or if I speak in a tongue and it is in the middle of the people, you see, if it's prayer, it's fine because it's between you and God. But if God wants to bring a message to the people and there is a tongue, that tongue must be interpreted, because then the message is coming to us. It's not going to God. We need interpreters. You get that? So Mr. Mkosi, try again 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15. Because I want to show you that there is a thing. You can pray in the spirit, which is praying in unknown tongue. You can also pray in the language you understand. Okay? But when I pray in a tongue, it's beneficial because I can even pray things that my mind does not know of. So 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15, Amplified Classic.
For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays.
Okay, so what is praying in the spirit? Because he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, what is praying? My spirit by the Holy Spirit is praying. So that's praying in the spirit. Isn't it? Let the word explain itself. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit. We told you that when you pray in a tongue, the spirit gives the utterance. So he says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But what happens to my mind?
But my mind is unproductive.
Okay. My mind is used to always being the one who determines what should be spoken. Continue.
It bears no fruit and helps nobody.
Yeah.
Then what am I to do?
Okay. So what must I do now?
I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me. But I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding.
Did you see that? He says, I will. There are times when I would pray in the spirit, in tongues, but there are also times when I'll pray with my understanding. Amen. Yeah, I pray with my understanding. I talk things that I know. And then I can declare those. Okay?
I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me. But I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also.
Amen. Did you get that? Yeah. So if you understand that, then you will know it means as a child of God, I could do either way. I can pray with the language that I understand. But that is limit. There is a limitation there because if I'm praying in a language that I understand all the time, it means there are things that I don't know. So Romans 8, 26, it says, we do not know. The Holy Spirit comes to our aid when we do not know what to pray for as we ought. He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So it means he can help me speak things that I also don't know. You just feel, I've got this heavy burden. I just know something is wrong. But I don't know what is it. Then just go in tongues, pray in tongues. Then you will hear tomorrow somebody saying, you know what? Last night at 12 o'clock midnight, I was traveling from this and such a place. And you know, there were cattle in the road. And this and this and this happened. Then you start realizing, oh, so this person is saved because of that prayer that I made. That I didn't know, but the Holy Spirit knows. Amen? Amen? So it means we need to take this serious. And the issue of praying in the Spirit, I also like it that when you pray in the Spirit, even in any prayer, by the way, when we pray, we are not just speaking to God, we are speaking with God. So when I'm praying, I speak to God and I expect also to hear from Him. So I want to expound that a bit so that you can understand that and we practice that. And as we have time to pray, we do that. Because as a child of God, you should learn to discern the voice of God. Amen? So that you can benefit. You cannot. You would be not like people of the world who, when they want to know what will happen to them, they go, is it horoscope? And stars. Oh, which is your month of birth? May. Oh, no, then you are a scorpion. I don't know whether it's a scorpion or whatever. I'm just saying. You can see that the pastor has got no knowledge of those things. That's why he's mixing them up. He just had by and by. So do you think, and what is surprising is this. Do you know that even for all those things, to show that these things are man-made, do you know that every one of you are told something good that's coming your way? Huh? Yeah. So I'll tell you. I'll give you an example. There was one time, I use the example from Scripture. So there was one time when there were two people who dreamt during the kingdom of Pharaoh, a butler and a baker. Okay? One comes to Moses to Joseph and say, I dreamt. And then Moses interpreted the dream and he says, within 2 days you're going to get out of jail here and you'll go and be serving Pharaoh again. Now to show that that was not a horoscope, the other one comes. I also dreamt. He says, oh, I'm sorry. Your one, it means... In 2 days, Pharaoh will take you here and he's going to behead you. So do horoscopes sometimes tell you that? To show that they are trying to play with your mind, man. They are playing with you. I mean, it's very easy to do those things. But you can see that with Joseph and what Joseph said, the two happened exactly as he said, isn't it? Who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and he will tell you of things to come. So the Holy Spirit wants to share with you what he is receiving from the Father and he will show you even things to come. He will give me glory because he will take what I say and tell it to you. Did you see that? The Holy Spirit will take what God says and tell it to us. All that my Father has is mine, and that's why I said that the Spirit will take what I give him and tell it to you. So he wants to tell it to us. So Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1. And worship team, get ready. You can be coming to the voice. I'm doing this one. And try to get the right tune. Gia gutanda moyo inwele. Just saying, Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. We appreciate you. And as we continue with that song, when you feel that you are at a point where you can start praying, then start praying. But Habakkuk 2:1 says, Amplified Classic. Habakkuk 2:1, Amplified Classic. Oh, I know. I have been rushed to talk out plainly this way to God. He says, I will in my thinking. But that was not in the thinking, it was in his heart. He says, I will in my thinking stand upon my post of observation and station myself. In other words, I'll position myself to hear from you. You need to position yourself. He says, I will in my thinking stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower of fortress and watch to see what he will say. Where? I want to watch what he will see, to see what he will say where. Check it in your Bible. Where is he going to say it? Within me. Did you get that? Yeah, it's there in your Bible. He says, I'm positioning myself. I want to stand and station myself on the tower of fortress and watch to see what he will say within me. I'm also positioning myself. Tell your neighbor, I'm also positioning myself. As we are going to worship, actually the best way to position yourself is to worship him. As you get in that atmosphere of worship, you are positioning yourself to hear what he will say within you. Are we ready? And then we can stand up, worship the Lord. And as we sing that song, continue to sing. When you feel you are ready to pray, start praying. And sometimes be still and know that he is God. Let him reveal certain things to you. You hear what he will say within me. I'm stationing myself. I'm positioning myself. I want to hear what he will say within me.